Not Mr. Giglio, Louie. So I'd like for you to come up and say hello and have a chance to meet you. It's good to be on your campus. I've been near here before, but never to here. And so it's come today, and I'm just excited that you're here tonight. I was watching the Weather Channel last night because I came from Georgia, and they were saying, you know, all this bad stuff was going to happen, and I couldn't tell. I didn't have my glasses on. And I couldn't see if it was all the way down to Oklahoma or just part way down, but it looked like it could possibly be bad, and I wasn't sure if I was even going to be able to make it here today. And then I thought, well, it's freezing cold. It's like 0 degrees outside, and nobody's going to come to this thing anyway. And so to look around and see all of you here is really, really encouraging to me a lot. I think God has something good to say tonight. I don't know how he'll connect it to your life, because I don't know where your life is. So that's really encouraging to me tonight, that it's not me that's speaking, but him. And if you would let me, I would really like to say, and I'd like to ask him if he would say to you, and if he would say to me the things that he knows we need to hear tonight. I don't know why that happens. Does anybody know why that's happening? Sometimes it just goes and comes. Is it because of my things? Pardon me? Yeah, it's right there. Anyway, well, we'll work with it. Be great. I'd like to use one again. Every time I get ready to pray, it does it again, so maybe I shouldn't pray. let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for giving us the opportunity, these just incredible moments that we have to tell you that we love you, and that you're God alone, that you're a good God. And I know there must be some thousands and thousands of people around the world tonight who are worshiping you in different places and styles. And thank you for letting our voice be a part of their voices tonight to exalt you. Father, I hope it's true that you alone are our heart's desire. I found myself maybe just pausing tonight and saying, have mercy on me. That I have such a wayward heart and I seem to drift off course and get caught up in so many other things, and to look back today and to be able to say, did I have a singular heart for you? Did I really long for you like the deer longs for the water? Is that just a nice song? But I thank you for the possibility tonight that that could be our prayer. I pray that you'd save these students and save me from me tonight, and that you would grace us with you. That's my sole prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If you brought a Bible tonight, we're going to look at an old story. How many of you grew up around church somewhere? Like you lived near one, went to one, know where one was? See your hands just one more time. Okay, you're going to know this story. It's the story of Zacchaeus. And everybody knows about Zacchaeus because he was... Thank you very much. And so we're going to look in Luke 19. If you have a Bible, you can flip over there. Before we get into Zacchaeus, though, I want to tell you a story. I've been telling it to college students all over the country for about the last 6 or 8 months. And you may have heard me share it if you ended up at Glorieta last summer. I know most of you weren't there. It's a story about purpose. Now, college to me is the most incredible moment of life. It sure beats being in high school, and it's a whole lot better than having a job. I mean, it really is maybe one of the most incredible places to be in life, because when you look back, you're like, thank goodness I'm out of that place. And when you look ahead, you're going, thank goodness I'm not out there. You know, it's kind of a really nice, refreshing thing. And some of you need to lift your eyes and your heart up tonight. And maybe you won't get anything spiritual out of tonight, but you can just go home and tell your roommate, you know, this really isn't all that bad. I mean, it's not the worst thing that can happen to you for 4, 5, 6, 7 years just to be able to pause briefly before that and to know that you don't have to deal with that. I mean, high school is very weird, if you ask me. I'm around a lot of teenagers, and I have people say, you speak to thousands and thousands of teenagers. What do you think about teenagers? Only one thing. They're very, very weird. And that's all I've learned in many, many years of working with teenagers. That's a weird thing. Working is kind of a weird thing, too. You guys are in the greatest moment of life. And I go to these campuses, and I've just spent the last 10 years of my life living around college students at Baylor. And I look at a lot of these college students, and I look sort of deeply into their eyes, and they look back at me with a look that says, I really don't have any purpose in life. I'm sort of in this no man's land. High school, you have a purpose. The bell rings every 55 minutes and you go somewhere. I mean, how complicated can that be? I mean, when you graduate, your alarm goes off and you got to go to work, buddy. It doesn't matter if you feel like it. It doesn't matter. You can't put the hat on and just cruise in late. You got to get up. You got to take a shower. You got to get in your car. You got to drive to your job, sit down at your desk, and you got to work. I mean, like work, not like I was sort of studying and watching basketball work. I mean, like you got to work all day long, and then you go home at night and you're tired at the end of this kind of thing. And so here you guys are in this sort of wonderful moment of learning, of friendships, of checking out what God's going to do in your life and in your world, of building relationships, of exploring all kinds of opportunities. But when you think about that being such an incredible moment, when you get around a lot of college students, you don't feel like it's very incredible at all. And I think the missing moment is the moment of purpose. There's a guy, I'm going to tell you about him, and I have documentation with me. It's back at the house. In fact, it's really out in Max's car right now. We'll go get it later for all you skeptics that are here. This guy I want to tell you about was having a problem with purpose, okay? He was 33 years of age. He was a truck driver. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you're studying that. Maybe you all have a degree in that here, and that's what you want to do. He's a truck driver. He's a happy truck driver. But being a truck driver has become a very monotonous thing for Larry Walters. Larry lives out in California. At least he used to. I'm trying to track him down. I haven't found him yet. I've called a couple of Larry Walters in California. I haven't gotten the right one yet. I'm literally, seriously, trying to find this guy. But he used to live in California. One day, Larry Walters says, I am really bored, so here's what I'm going to do. Now, I don't know how smart he was, but he was bored. He said, I'm going to get a Sears lawn chair. Now, this is a true story. It's in a book Chuck Swindoll wrote. You've heard of him. It's reputable. It's a true story. He gets a Sears lawn chair, and he attaches 42 balloons. Now, weather balloon is like a very large, serious, major balloon. You know what I'm talking about? Not little party balloons here. Not the little silver one you gave to your girlfriend a couple years ago. But this is a large, large helium-filled balloon. 42 of them. Okay? You just think about that for a minute. You can try and experiment if you want when the weather warms up. Just get one party balloon, fill it with helium, and make a small lawn chair out of a piece of notebook paper or something. Just craft your own. Put it on the end of that little ribbon and let it go and watch what happens. It's pretty amazing. Whoo! Right on out there. You won't be able to see it for very long. He put 42 helium-filled weather balloons on the Sears lawn chair. And someone's going to ask me later, was it the upright lawn chair or the long chase lawn chair? I don't know. I didn't say that in the story. Some of you are kind of trying to get a mental picture here. I don't know that part. I just know it was the Sears lawn chair. He attaches the balloons to it, and at some point, somehow, he releases himself out of his backyard in Los Angeles, California, from whatever is holding him to the ground, and he cuts himself loose, and he takes off into the air, big time, Larry Walters. Why? He's bored. He's lacking purpose in his life, right? The truck driver. So Larry Walters only has with him one thing. What do you think he has with him? A parachute, that would have been a good idea. Guy's not that smart. What do you think he had with him? Binoculars, that's very creative. Yeah, that's great. Want to see my loved ones for the very last time? Yeah, here they are. He has a pellet pistol with him. You got it? Do you smoke the pistol? He has this thought, if things get out of hand, I'll just shoot some of the balloons. Right. Now, I want you to stay with me. This is the part where you're just going to have to... I'll bring the documentation if you come on the retreat. You can read it for yourself. Some of you will go home and say, no, I don't believe it. This guy goes up so fast. Think of it. I mean, maybe you've had a long day. I don't know, had a lab or something. Your mind's kind of waxed a little bit. Think of one of those little balloons going out of the parking lot. Think of 42 weather balloons filled with helium. This guy is going up fast. A jet pilot flying into LAX. That's LA International Airport. Radios to the tower. And this is what he radios to the tower. We are on approach to runway 27 West. And there's the guy out here who just went past us in a lawn chair. That's the truth. That's the true story. And the plane was at 16,000 feet in the air. And Larry Walters went past. That's a true story. Look at the guys right here. No way. Look at it. There's my skeptic right there on the front row. Are you Elliot? I have a word. Someone has a back pain tonight. His name is... No, I just a word of knowledge for you, Elliot. I've got a word for you later God gave me coming in today. But anyway, just want to make sure. He said it would be the skeptic. Would be Elliot. He'd be near the front. So I'm glad to meet you. This guy's at 16,000 feet. Now, you're getting like serious oxygen deprivation, happening at 16,000 feet. Can't breathe really good. So he starts shooting some of the balloons. Not a bad idea. I don't know how he's calculated which ones to shoot, how many to shoot, but he starts shooting some of the balloons with his pellet pistol until his rapid ascent slows down a little bit and he begins to slowly descend. He landed in Long Beach, California, 45 minutes away from where he took off in his backyard, and he landed safely on the ground and he lived to tell about it. The guy went on the Johnny Carson show and became a famous guy, quit his truck driving job, and became a motivational speaker. He had a Timex ad, for crying out loud. It was a national ad for a while. I don't know what the point of it was. I never saw it, but maybe he had a watch on the whole time. I don't know. Larry Walters. That story has blown me away. Elliot, well, the guy told me that story. We were riding in a car. I'll never forget the moment. I said, I don't believe that. He said, well, I've got the book at home. I said, I don't care what book you've got it in. I don't believe the book. So I went home. The guy had the book in his house. It's in this Chuck Swindoll devotional book. I read it. And it has some documentation in there. I've been trying to call Larry just because I like to talk to him, because I've been talking about him a lot. I think it'd only be fair if I talk to the poor guy and find out what he's about. Larry Walters had a crisis of purpose in his life. Now, I need to take out some kind of liability insurance coming and telling that kind of story here. Because there's somebody in this room, Elliot, and I don't know what you're like, but somebody in here in the very, very back part of your mind is thinking, wow. Let's do it. You may not be at the Larry Walters moment, but let me ask you a question. Are you really driven by any kind of real purpose today? You see, I think the danger for me is to get swept into the current of life to the degree that my decisions and the direction of who I am and what I'm about in a given day is pretty much decided by other people. Sort of like my accounting professor or my roommate. Or some other group. And I just wake up and I get this agenda every day and I do my best to go through the motions and meet all the expectations and meet the requirements and live through it all and survive to the end of the day so at some point I can go to sleep and wake up tomorrow and do it all over again. And I think that purpose is missing out of the hearts and the lives of the students all across our country. And I think the real joy of life is to see an awakening happen. And awakenings happen when students come alive to purpose. Now maybe tonight you're not at a crisis mode like Larry Walters where you're ready to do something really, really radically, wild. But a lot of students are. And they figure maybe that's a way to find some meaning in this whole thing. And they do the strangest things they never thought they would do. They find out in the most bizarre circumstances, the strangest relationships, in the weirdest environments, doing stuff that 4 years ago, 2 years ago, 8 weeks ago, if you asked them, would you be there doing that in that moment with those people, they'd say, no way. No way. But somehow a void of purpose has left them susceptible to the winds that blow. And the winds may have blown them off course in their lives. I think Zacchaeus was having a purpose crisis. If you're at Luke 19, let's just read a couple of verses together. You know the story by heart. Most of you have been around church long enough to quote it for me. But I'd like to read a couple of verses as we look at it together. It says in verse 1, And he there being Jesus, entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. Okay, so we got that much of the story. Can we pause for a moment? Zacchaeus is not maybe the most well-liked guy on the campus. because he's working for a foreign government, squeezing money out of his own people. And he's making a killing in the process. He is not the guy, when he passes people on the street, that they're like, "Oh, Zacchaeus, what's up? How's it going?" I mean, Zacchaeus is a guy who's sort of living on an island already. And he's got all the stuff, he just paid a heavy price to get it. He's the chief tax gatherer. He's the loser in the people who live in that town's eyes. And he's really rich. It says in verse 3, he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable, because here it comes, the famous line of life, because of the crowd. Why? For he was small in stature. Now, we've learned that from our youth. Somehow this poor man, even when we were little bitty kids, we began ripping on this guy because he's just a wee little man. And we sang a little song about him. And when I said to you, Zacchaeus, and everybody here in unison said he was a wee little man, how would you like to be known on this campus as a wee little man? I mean, how would that really do for you? There's some insight there, though. I think the insight is that Zacchaeus was a guy who was struggling. He was struggling with his own self-image. He was short. He was a midget. He was gravity challenged. He was a squeak. He was just a little shrimp of a guy, Zacchaeus was. I mean, politely, the writer says he was small in stature. That sounds very nice. He was just a little shrimpy guy who nobody liked. Oh, he's really rich, had all the stuff, had accumulated all the possessions, but he's got a little bit of a purpose crisis, and I think a little bit of a self-image crisis going on in his life. And maybe there's some students on this campus, I don't know, who maybe have a bit of a purpose and even maybe a bit of a self-image crisis going on in their own minds. And Zacchaeus had heard something. And what he had heard was that when Jesus shows up, amazing things take place. And Jesus was coming to his town. And out of a purpose crisis, and out of a real obvious need crisis, he said, "I want to check this guy out." And he went to see, it says in this verse, who Jesus was. That was pretty smart on his part. He decided, out of a purposeless life, a life that he thought, if I just do this job and make all this money and get all this stuff, then everything's going to feel right. And all of a sudden, it's not feeling right. And he said, maybe I'll go and look and see who Jesus is. A great, great question. I think that if I could use one word, and it's maybe not true of you, because obviously some of you, most of you are connected to spiritual life somewhere, and that's why you're here tonight. I mean, that's why you're not home watching Friends or whatever. Maybe you've got your VCR on so you can see ER later tonight, or maybe we'll get out in time for ER, I guess. I don't know what time we'll get out of here. Hopefully, if someone goes, "Oh no, we're not going to go over to ER, are we?" Don't tell me that. You've got to cut this thing off, man. But I know you're sort of somehow connected to spiritual life, and so maybe you're not a hardcore seeker. But I want to lay down my assumption in saying that probably the flag that's going to fly around this campus is the flag that says seeking. Seeking. I meant to bring this for you. In fact, I didn't get to kind of look around your campus enough today. I got the, David gave me the special drive-by tour, the sub-zero weather tour, and we just drove around and looked at some things, and that was kind of nice, but I didn't get to walk around. I like to walk around a campus usually when I get there and sort of poke around and check things out. I was at Florida State just not long ago, and I ran into this thing they have there, and it's the kind of the, they had the student newspaper, right? And that's where you have all your regular boring articles that nobody reads anyway. And then they had the sort of offbeat student newspaper. I don't know if you have one of those here or not. And it's where all the action happens at Florida State. It's kind of an interesting thing. And I opened it up, and the whole back half of this little paper were the personals for Florida State University. Have you ever seen these kind of things? You don't have that stuff here, I'm sure. But I mean, I was blown away by this. You know what I'm talking about? This big section in the beginning, woman seeks man. And then they had all this encrypted little messages in there. Like, you know, I wish I had brought the whole thing in, because there were some beautiful ones in there. You know, 18, single white female, 5'7", blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, smart, fun-loving, love cats, you know, seeks. Or say something like ISO, which I learned is in search of, or I guess that's what that is. I can put that together. In search of wonderful man to complete my world. And then she'd describe who this man is. He's, you know, between 19 and 24, and he's over 6 feet, and he's not overweight, and he's fit, and he loves cats, and he, you know, and he goes all the way down through the things that he is. And I mean, there's a whole rows of these things. And I'm reading these things, and some of them are really honest. You know, I'm really big and I'm huge and I weigh 327 pounds and I'm looking for a guy who can love every inch of me. And that one's in there, you know, responding. And then they got the whole next section. It's man seeks woman. And they've got all these men. And women, you can read it. The women are usually pretty upfront, you think, you know, like I'm just a pretty nice, normal person here. The men are like, oh, well, let me see now. I don't know. And their lines are always longer than the girls. I mean, the girls can usually get the personal in 3 lines. The guy's about 8 lines over there saying, you know, I'm tall, good looking man, I'm cut, I'm built, I'm this, I'm that, I'm so wonderful. And you'd be wonderfully lucky to go out with me. Call the number. It'll be the greatest thing you ever do. The smartest move you ever make. It'll make your whole world rock. Just call me. I'm ready. I'm waiting. And all the little men's things or that kind of thing. There was one jumped in there I liked it, though. It said, Christian man. This is Florida State University. This place is like, it's major, like on another wild planet. I mean, this guy says, Christian man looking for Proverbs 31 woman. Look at that right there. I circled that one in there. I said, man, I brought that one to the meeting. Man, there's some girl I didn't even get through speaking. She's like, give me that thing, man. She's calling that guy up. She was ready to go for that guy. They had a big section at the end that said, same, seek, same. And it had all these rows in there, men seeking other men, and men who cross-dresses seeking women who like men who cross-dress like women. I mean, there was some bizarre stuff happening in there. Now, I know none of that stuff would go on here in the great Midwest heartbeat of America, but I mean, there was some weird stuff happening there. And you know what? I kept reading those things. I said, what are you, some kind of a sick weirdo? I said, no, I'm just sitting in the student center trying to figure out what's happening on this campus. And you know what I found? I found this little common denominator. One of them was an Asian female. One of them was a black male. One of them was a white guy, a tall guy, a short guy, a sort of heavyset woman, a blonde, a redhead, a brown, brunette, built, not built, like music, don't like music, country, western, rock and roll, love cats, hate pets. I mean, there are all kinds of different things in there. And every single one of them contained the same little five-letter word. And it was the word seek. People are looking, searching. They're searching enough that they would put a little ad in the back of the personal section of the offbeat campus paper to say, anybody that I may even remotely ring your bell, drop a voicemail in my box. I'm seeking. See, I don't think a lot has changed from our friend Zacchaeus over here to where we walk in the regular world of today. And I think the answer is pretty much the same. Somehow we've got to interface these seeking students with the same Jesus who was coming through Jericho on that day. Can I tell you something really briefly? When I was in high school, I don't aspire to be really all that bright right now, but I was very smart then. In 12th grade year of high school, we had an ensemble at our church. We went and sang. Did you ever be in one of those, anybody, a little 12-person thing? Maybe yours was called Sunlight or One Voice or Unity or one of those other nice little wonderful names we called them all. Ours was Sunlight, S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T. And we went and sang from our home church, which was First Baptist Atlanta, Georgia, at all these smaller churches around middle and southern Georgia, right? And we went in the church van every time, which wasn't really cool if you were in the 12th grade, but you know, that's what we had to go in. And we wore these three-piece matching suits. I'm talking the 70s here, so just bear with me if you will. It was a strange time. It's kind of coming back to the college scene, which scares the daylights out of me, to be really, really honest with you. The 70s were really bad the first time, but I did a little revisit coming along here. And I saw the first bell bottoms about 4 years ago. I said, oh Lord, please deliver us from that. We've already done that one time in this lifetime. We asked our director of our ensemble if he'd be willing. It's our senior year. We've been really stellar members of the ensemble, 4 of us senior guys. If he'd be willing to let us take our car on this last outing to LaGrange, Georgia, could we drive in our car? Well, he had a weak moment, and he said, well, and then we added in, well, we promised to stay right behind the van. Promise. Now, we didn't say how far behind the van, but we said right behind the van. We'll stay behind the van. And he said, came back and said, if you stay behind the van, I like the sound of that. I added in right behind. He just came back with behind. And when you're in 12th grade, you run with all these kind of opportunities. I said, behind the van, we can make that happen. We'll be behind the van, trust me, whole way. They got in the van, took off. First red light, we lost them. Don't know what happened. They just, we missed somehow. They went through. We got lost. We're behind them now. We got a map, though. We're riding down the road. We're in the greatest mood. We're in our own car. We're free. We're not in that van. You know, it feels so much freer somehow in that van. Pull up, and there's some girls in the car next to you. You know, in that van, every now and then you forget. Some of you still ride in the church van, and you're kind of looking over there like, hey, what's up? Yeah, cool. Hey, how y'all doing? And they're looking back at you like, yeah, Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church. Hey, cool. Whoa. You know. It's too hard to be really cool in a church van sometimes when you're in high school. Well, we lost them. We went down the road. We're listening to Christian music. Man, we're having a great time. Four of us guys going to sing, tell these people that Christ is changing our lives, right? Man, we're so excited. We came to this place. And I can only describe it to you briefly, but there's an interstate there now. It's I-85, a major interstate. At the time, it wasn't completed, so we're on this little two-lane road going under the underpass, which was there. The ramps were there and everything, but the road wasn't ready yet. So we're going under, and somebody in our car has this brilliant idea like teenagers sometimes have when their brains just totally die out on them and they have oxygen deprivation like Larry did. They just have these weird thoughts, and someone in our car said, hey, I got a great idea. What if we stop the car, get out, and we move that big barricade that's prohibiting people from going on the entrance ramp to the freeway. What if we just drag that barricade over the two-lane highway and route all the traffic up on the interstate? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? So, all right, yeah, great idea. So I'd pull the car over. Elliot, stay with me on this one. I can document this one. I've got a court record to prove it. Max is already saying, oh, man, why did we bring this guy here? We got out, three of us did, one guy whose name I won't mention stayed in the back seat, shook the whole time, and we got out, drug that big thing over this two-lane road and drug the one from the other side over, and we thought, this is great. Got in the car, looked both ways, took off. Man, we're going to go and sing at this church, tell these people that Christ is changing our lives. We're excited, man, we're fired up. And so we're cruising down the road, right? And we're not thinking about anything. Teenagers have two problems, and you graduate from it in college, but teenagers have two problems. One, They rarely think about the consequences of anything they do. That's the teenage disease. Now, you've moved out of that. Once you move away from home and go to college, you lose that. But teenagers, I mean, they just, it's not like, I mean, nothing is beyond right here. We hadn't thought about any consequences. The second part of the teenage disease is you forget things rather quickly. Like maybe 10 minutes later, it's like another lifetime. So we're riding down the road. What happened back there 30 minutes ago? I don't remember. I mean, that was a long time ago. We're riding down the road. We came into Hogansville, Georgia. It was about the size of this room. Still is. And there was a sheriff sitting in his car when we came into Hogansville, Georgia. You got the picture. I'm talking Georgia. You can imagine Billy Jack or whatever movie might come to your mind. This guy, mirrored glasses, some sort of twig, stick, something in his mouth, no neck, crew cut, window down, just looking at traffic coming into Hogansville. And we slowed down. We're doing 35. We got on suits, for crying out loud, matching suits nonetheless. We're going to sing at a church. We're not worried. We're doing the speed limit. And my friend says, who's driving? That guy looks like the kind of guy that would just pull you right out of your car and they would never hear from you again. I said, I'm with you on that. We're doing 35. We're going through town. We don't have any contraband, no drugs, no weapons. I mean, we're not intoxicated. We are doing the speed limit. We're not worried about this guy. Until we leave the back side of Hogansville, which was shortly after we came into the front side of Hogansville. And I want to tell you, I'll never forget, true story, as long as I live, the look on my best friend's face. Faces good friends don't have to communicate. And what he was saying to me in that moment was, something serious is happening. He's looking in the rearview mirror. Something serious is happening. Well, I didn't turn around because I knew better than that. As a teenager, I put the visor down, checked the mirror out, and I went, oh, my goodness. That guy was behind us with the lights on. And behind him was another law enforcement vehicle with the lights on, and so on, and so on, and so on. There were six different law enforcement vehicles behind us. Now, what did we have? What were we suffering from the symptoms of? Teenage disease. What's the teenage disease? You never think about the consequences of anything. What's the second symptom? You forget things really, really fast. And we're going, what is up with this? I'm serious. Pull over. My friend gets out, goes to the back of the car. I'm going, I don't know what to deal with this. He's a very big smart aleck as a high school student. And I'm thinking, what is the problem? We've got to go to this church and we're going to be late to tell these people that Christ is changing our lives. What's the holdup? He comes back and says, get out of the car. We are in trouble. Whoa. And I'll never forget the four of us standing behind his little Toyota Corolla. Fourth member down here is shaking like a leaf, and I'm looking at him with this look like, if you say anything, you will die right here. I didn't do it. We know you didn't do it. None of us did it. That's the key. None of us did it. And this guy with the glasses, right, is looking at us, because I'm looking at me in his glasses. And to be honest with you, I really was scared, especially when he spoke these words. He said, somebody is going to tell me who moved those barricades. Because what you boys don't understand is that a family of four who's not from around here just went up on that interstate. And what you probably don't know, is it 3 miles north of here, there's a bridge that hasn't been completed. And if somebody died, I'm charging every one of you with murder. They frisked us, put us in their cars, took us to jail. It was a quiet ride. Let's freeze frame that thought just for a second. We'll come back to it. And listen to these words. They were written so long ago, and you had to blow the dust off of them. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. You've heard that verse, haven't you? Check the one that comes after it. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain. And the end of a good time is often grief. Because you see, a man or a woman without God may have the fill of all of their ways, but only a godly man will be satisfied with what he has. See, that proverb writer, I think, had a pulse of the college students in America. And he said, there is a seeking world, and in that seeking world, there are a lot of things saying, everybody this way. Everybody exit here. This is the way to fill up the empty places. This is where satisfaction comes from. This is where the joy comes from. This is where purpose in life can be found. This is where all the seeking of your soul can be satisfied. And so many people are just moving through this life so distorted in their view of what really meets the seeking soul. And there's Zacchaeus, for crying out loud, and we'll have to wrap up here and just sort of carry over into Friday night. And if you're not coming Friday night, I'm sorry that you won't get the end of the talk. But here's Zacchaeus, this wee little man, sitting up in this tree. He's just trying to get a look at Jesus. He's trying to ask one big question after a lot of detours, a lot of dead-end streets, a lot of incompleted paths, trying to find a way to fill up the empty places in his heart. And he's saying, I'm going to look at this Jesus guy and give him a chance. Listen to it. It's so simple. It's so old. It's a story you know. We'll miss it tonight. He says, I want to see Jesus. And in the middle of everything that was happening, this blows me away. In the middle of, imagine the commotion. Imagine the people crowding around Jesus, pressing. So many people, Zacchaeus couldn't see over. People just clamoring for him, clawing for him, crying out for him, pressing into him. Pandemonium is happening around Jesus. And he stopped. He just stopped. I love that. And he stopped and he just looked straight up at Zacchaeus. And he called him by name. It startled you a little bit when I called Elliot by name. It wasn't a setup. I just figured somebody over there was named Elliot and I just took a shot that it was you. But it kind of startled you a little bit, didn't it? Startled you a little bit too, didn't it? How do you think Zacchaeus must have felt when he thought all the while he was getting where he could see Jesus, and then it started dawning on him that Jesus had gotten where he could see Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus went up a tree. Jesus Christ, we sang it, came from heaven to earth. And he was standing, the Son of God, in Jericho. looking up. And he said, I see you. Get down. I'm coming to be with you. Wow. I love that truth. And I'm going to put a pause here tonight and we'll just take a deep breath and carry on later in the weekend. But let me say this before you start to stir around a lot. There's one thing I know for sure tonight. I know there's some people sitting in this room who are coming close to maybe a lack of purpose, maybe a crisis of satisfaction. Maybe somehow you know something's missing and you're not desperate enough to put a personal ad in the paper if you had such a thing here. In the back of your mind, you wouldn't see seeing the one I had from down there. You know, just make sure somebody in there you don't want to miss. And Jesus is in this room. And more than anything, He just loved to look you right in the eyes and say, hi, I know you. I know you. And you might be in miserable shape like Zacchaeus, worst guy in town. Or you may be the best guy in the ministry. But He knows you tonight. Really knows you. And He says, I've come to seek. I've come to seek. I'm seeking. In a seeking world, there is a seeking Jesus. And I've wanted to take up a collection and run an ad in every stinking one of those personal things in the Atlanta paper and the Oklahoma paper, if you have one here, and the Dallas paper, and the Florida State little campus paper, The Break. And I'd love to put an ad in every single one of them. I don't know what, it wouldn't be in the woman seeks man, it wouldn't be in the man seeks woman, it wouldn't be in the same seeks same. We would just ask them, if we pay you enough, will you create a new category? Put it at the back, God seeking man. And we'd just put an ad in there that said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the world and everything in it, the King of Kings, the One who made and gave breath to every human being, is seeking you for an intimate, personal relationship, long-term fellowship, for joy, for laughter, for purpose, for adventure, for meaningful conversations, for wild experiences, for a life that counts. Jesus Christ, standing on this earth tonight, and even in this place, He's saying to a seeking world, I'm seeking you. And when you find me, I'll bring purpose into your life, the kind of purpose that drives you on day by day. Why don't we pray together? I'd like for us just to have a moment and ask God if He might just speak that to somebody's heart tonight. I just sense that maybe, now there's a student here, I think maybe two kinds of students have just surfaced in my heart as I'm looking into your eyes. And one of them is a student who has really been looking in some really bad places. And I wonder if you sense Jesus just looking into your face tonight. And you'd come down out of your tree and you'd let Him come home with you tonight. You'd reconnect your life with Him in such a way that He began to breathe purpose into your heart again. And I think tonight about a student, and you know all the answers. You could have come and given a better talk on Zacchaeus than I did. But somehow, when you wake up in the morning, there is a very real lack of an energetic passion for the day that's before you. And you just become a product of the things that drive you on. And you've lost the edge of really living life. And I pray tonight that you might just whisper to the Son of God and say to Him, would you come? And would you have mercy on me? And would you again breathe into my heart the love that you have and the passion that you bring? God, I say to you tonight that it is easy for us, even those of us who know you and who love you, to slip into the middle, to slip into empty places. And I ask you tonight that you would have mercy on us. That you would breathe on us in your grace tonight. And that just your very presence in this room and the intensity of your heart to come to seek us out would move us to respond to that invitation tonight and say, if you are seeking me, then I am going to seek you too. I know that's where we find what fills up the empty places. And so lead us there in your grace, I pray. In Jesus' name.